You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Monday, January 16, 2023. The Contenders. What we know of the secret list of survivors of DOE's hydrogen hub cutdown. Published by Jason Lindquist. The U.S. has committed billions of dollars over the last couple of years to clean energy initiatives, everything from advanced fuels and carbon capture technology to renewable energy and electric vehicles. The all-of-the-above approach also includes clean hydrogen, whose development the U.S. Department of Energy, or DOE, has deemed crucial to meeting the Biden administration's goals of a 100% clean electric grid by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. As part of its efforts, the U.S. plans to provide generous financial support for the build-out of several hydrogen hubs. Initial concept papers were submitted last year by dozens of applicants for the federal largesse, and the DOE recently provided formal encouragement to 33 proponents to submit a full application this spring, in what amounts to an informal cutdown, but declined to name them. In today's RBN blog, we examine the 18 projects we've been able to identify that survived the trimming, what they tell us about the selection process, and how it compares to our previous expectations. Much like the federal government did with wind and solar power in the 2000s and 2010s, the U.S. has made clean hydrogen a priority, with the Regional Clean Hydrogen Hubs, or H2 Hubs, proposal intended to accelerate the process. The DOE opened up $7 billion in funding, courtesy of 2021's Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, for the hubs in September 2022. For the first stage of the process, the DOE's Office of Clean Energy Demonstration, or OCED, which will administer the hydrogen hubs, required interested parties to submit concept papers about their planned projects. Each paper's assessment was based on evaluation criteria that included qualifications, experience, and capabilities, expected contributions toward a national hydrogen network, plans to develop production, end use, and connected facilities, and community benefits. Of the 79 concept papers that were submitted, 33 were encouraged by a DOE panel in late December to submit a full application by the April 7th deadline. The OCED announcement didn't name those projects, although it noted that applicants are free to share their papers and the DOE's response to them. "We don't have a full list of applicants that received positive feedback, but we've been able to identify 18 of them through various methods, including project announcements, press releases, and news reports, and they tell us a little something about how the process is playing out. If there's a project that should be included in our list, please email Managing Editor Jason Lindquist. You might want to take a look at Figure 1 in today's blog on the website, which details the 18 projects we've been able to confirm so far, along with their general location. It's important to note that there are lots of pieces to the individual proposals, many of which have not been detailed in public, and several of them include multiple states. The concept papers that received positive feedback about their proposal largely focused on the elements critical to development of a hydrogen hub," the OCED said. On the other hand, the 46 papers that were discouraged from filing a full application often focused on only one element of a hub, depended on technology not ready for a commercial-scale demonstration, or were not readily suited to help develop a national clean hydrogen network. It should be noted that any group that submitted a concept paper is eligible to submit a full application, regardless of whether their concept paper received positive feedback. Before we get into what we've learned, let's take a quick look at what a clean hydrogen hub is supposed to be. The DOE defined a clean hydrogen hub as a network of clean hydrogen producers, potential clean hydrogen consumers, and connective infrastructure located in close proximity. It listed five key criteria for hub projects: geographic diversity, end use diversity, feedstock diversity, hubs in natural gas production areas, and employment. So we can see how well the projects we know about fit into the stated criteria, and how they match our previous expectations about which projects would have the best chances. Location, location, location. We've long thought that the Gulf Coast was a natural choice for a hydrogen hub. See our Gulf Coast Highway series. Of the 18 projects we've identified to date that were encouraged to submit a full application, at least three of them are in Texas or include Texas. The standout among them may be the high-velocity hub proposal for a hydrogen network along the Gulf Coast in Texas and Louisiana, a region that already has an impressive array of hydrogen production, pipeline and storage assets, not to mention natural gas supply, wind farms, solar facilities, carbon sequestration potential, and scores of hydrogen end users. The founding proponents of the high-velocity hub include the Center for Houston's Future, TTI Energy, Chevron, Air Liquide, and the University of Texas at Austin. Along those lines, a plan put forward by the Port of Corpus Christi has similar strengths. The Corpus Christi area, including Ingleside, just across the bay, appears to have all the makings of becoming a cost-effective, scalable hydrogen hub. Among other things, there are large tracts of land, much of it owned by the Port of Corpus Christi, that could be used for clean hydrogen and clean ammonia production, hydrogen ammonia storage, and carbon dioxide, or CO2, sequestration, as well as a plethora of marine terminals that could be expanded to export ammonia. Ammonia, which contains a lot of hydrogen, is an efficient carrier or suitcase molecule for transporting hydrogen by ship. A third Texas plan focuses on Permian natural gas. More on that in a minute. Since geographic diversity is a main element of the overall hub project, it's worth noting that 37 states plus the District of Columbia are included, and at least one project encouraged to submit a full application, with most of the others likely covered by other proposals not yet made public. Nearly every major region of the U.S. is covered: Appalachia, the Midwest, Northeast, Pacific Northwest, Rockies Southwest, and the West, so competition is intense. One project not on our confirmed list is the Great Plains Hydrogen Hub, a joint effort of Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, and Montana. If that project, or another nearby, is on the encouraged list, every major geographic area in the U.S. would be included in at least one proposal. Combined efforts, we've also said that multi-state efforts had a lot to offer in terms of resources, infrastructure, and potential for growth, not to mention some added political clout when it comes to selection time. That includes the HALO Coalition, an acronym of Hydrogen, Arkansas, Louisiana, and Oklahoma, which also received a positive review. In HALO's March 2022 unveiling, the state said they had a long history of producing and transporting fuels and feedstocks in liquid form, as well as extensive wind and solar resources and a number of existing and potential end users of hydrogen, including refineries, petrochemical producers, power generators, and the trucking industry. The HALO project might be a prime example of a multi-state effort, but it's far from the only one. Others that fall into that category include the following. Number 1. The Northeast Regional Hydrogen Hub proposal submitted by the New York State Energy Research and Development Authority, or NYSERDA. The concept includes 6 states: Connecticut, Maryland, Maine, New Jersey, New York, and Rhode Island, and a number of utilities, manufacturers, universities, and nonprofits. Number 2. The Southeast Hydrogen Hub, which includes 6 states: Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee, and features the participation of several major utilities: Dominion Energy, Duke Energy, Louisville Gas and Electric, Kentucky Utilities Company, Southern Company, and the Tennessee Valley Authority, plus Battelle, a nonprofit focused on science and technology. Battelle is also a participant in the ARCH2 proposal. Number 3. The Great Lakes Clean Hydrogen Coalition, which proposes to develop low-carbon hydrogen via electrolysis at Ohio's Davis-Bessie Nuclear Power Station. The facility proposes to distribute the hydrogen across the Great Lakes region by pipeline and road transportation. In addition to Ohio, the hub would serve parts of Indiana, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Number 4. The Mid-Atlantic Hydrogen Hub, which includes more than 40 partners representing Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Partnerships. Another factor we anticipated would be A+ would be the ability to combine government and private sector entities in a way that would speed the rate of development and boost a hub's long-term potential. Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, and New Mexico have worked together on the Western Interstate's Hydrogen Hub, or WISH, proposal. Its partners include the 4 states we mentioned before and several private sector entities, including utilities, Xcel Colorado, New Mexico Gas, midstream companies, and energy infrastructure developers, Tallgrass Energy, Avangrid, Dominion Energy Utah, a hydrogen developer, Libertad Power, and a large, Native American-owned agricultural entity, Navajo Agricultural Production Industries, plus Atkins, an engineering and consulting firm, and unit of SNC-Lavalin Group, active in hydrogen development projects around the world. Putting the pieces together, the OCED announcement regarding the concept papers makes a point of noting that multiple proposals can be merged into one full application, something we think is highly likely given the number of proposals and the limited number of hubs that are going to receive funding. The Pacific Northwest gives us a prime example of 2 plans that might be merged down the line, especially since they cover much of the same geographic area. We wrote in detail about the first, the Obsidian Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Hub, one of the few projects to make its concept paper public. The hub would consist of a clean hydrogen production, storage and distribution networks stretching from central Oregon to central and eastern Washington and the western edge of central Idaho. The network would be anchored by two clean hydrogen production plants, one in Hermiston, Oregon, and the other in Moses Lake, Washington. The proposal envisions hydrogen being produced at perhaps a half dozen sites along the hub's planned 560-mile hydrogen pipeline system. The other proposal, from the Pacific Northwest Hydrogen Association, didn't release its concept paper, but the public-private partnership's hub plan, known as PNWH2, may well be even more far-reaching than Obsidian's. Most important, perhaps, the governments of both Washington and Oregon are active participants in the PNWH2 proposal, seemingly providing hub proponents with the enhanced ability to assemble the pieces of a comprehensive plan. If the DOE is going to look favorably at projects that combine efforts to put the best proposal forward, we think it's possible that these two could merge. As noted earlier, there are at least three projects on the encouraged list from Texas, so some combination of efforts probably makes sense there too, as well as in other regions. Natural gas. The initial criteria emphasized the need for hubs in natural gas production areas, so it makes sense that at least one of the hubs would be sited near the Marcellus Utica. There's the Appalachian Regional Clean Hydrogen Hub, or ARCH2, a collaborative involving more than 40 entities including natural gas producers, pipeline companies, electric and gas utilities, independent power producers, industrial companies, and others that seems to check all the main boxes. Details about the proposed hub have not been released, but it would likely be centered in northern West Virginia and extend into western Pennsylvania and eastern Ohio. There's also the Pennsylvania-based Decarbonization Network of Appalachia. The proposed hub, which also received positive DOE feedback, would produce blue hydrogen derived from natural gas, using commercial-scale technologies to capture and sequester the CO2 generated in the process. The hydrogen would be distributed to steel and chemical manufacturers and to power facilities in the region, helping to establish an infrastructure network and provide a pathway to unlock a range of private sector projects. Back over in Texas, there's the Trans-Permian H2 Hub, which also received a positive DOE review. It includes several cities in Texas, San Antonio, Midland, El Paso, and others, and is designed to take advantage of the state's abundant infrastructure and natural gas resources, with outreach to the rest of the U.S. Southwest and Mexico. The plan includes hydrogen bus manufacturing, refueling stations, green and blue hydrogen production, ammonia and methanol production, metropolitan bus transport projects, and community development programs. Two types of diversity, since feedstock diversity is also a key element of the selection criteria, we'd expect to see at least one hub use renewable power and electrolysis to make hydrogen, another to use nuclear power and electrolysis, along with those that use fossil fuels, presumably running natural gas through steam methane reformers or autothermal reformers, SMRs or ATRs, to produce hydrogen, then capturing and sequestering most of the resulting CO2. Meeting that criteria could also help satisfy the requirements for geographic diversity, as renewable power is a central feature of the Hawaii Pacific Hydrogen Hub, California's Alliance for Clean Hydrogen Energy Systems, or ARCHES, and the Southwest Clean Hydrogen Innovation Network, SHINE, all of which received favorable DOE reviews. Nuclear power is a key part of the hub plan from the Midwest Alliance for Clean Hydrogen, or MACH2, and the Midwest Hydrogen Coalition, which involves seven states: Illinois, Indiana, Minnesota, Kentucky, Michigan, Ohio, and Wisconsin, and touts electrolyzers that would be largely run on nuclear power. Illinois has 11 operating nuclear power plants, tops in the nation. It's important to note that some of the other hub projects we've written about also look promising and seem to meet a number of the key criteria, although we don't yet know how their concept papers were received. It would be impossible to predict which plans will ultimately win the DOE support, even if we had the full list of 33 encouraged projects, but the limited number of projects we know about already look capable of satisfying the DOE's stated hub criteria. The Contenders was written by Ray Davis and appears as the first song on side one of the Kinks' 8th studio album, Lola vs. Powerman and the Money Go Round, Part 1. The song features a memorable slide guitar hook from Dave Davis and great blues harp from Ray Davis. Personnel on the record were Ray Davis, lead vocals, rhythm guitar, resonator guitar; Dave Davis, lead guitar, slide guitar, banjo, backing vocals; John Dalton, bass, backing vocals; McAvery, drums, percussion; and John Gosling, piano. Lola vs. Powerman and the Money Go Round, Part 1, was recorded between April and September 1970 at Morgan Studio in London, with Ray Davis producing. Released in November 1970, the album went to number 35 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. The concept album offered a satirical look at the music industry. Hunter Thompson once said that the music industry is a cruel and shallow money trench, a long plastic hallway where thieves and pimps run free and good men die like dogs. There's also a negative side. That pretty much sums up Ray Davis's take on managers, song publishers, unions, the press, and life on the road reflected in the songs on the LP. Two singles, including the top 10 hit Lola, were released from the album. The Kinks were an English rock band formed in London by brothers Ray and Dave Davis. 12 members have passed through the band, with Ray and Dave Davis being the only original members in the band during the Kinks' entire 33-year run. They released 24 studio albums, 6 live albums, 32 compilation albums, 10 EPs, and 78 singles. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and the UK Music Hall of Fame. The band gave its last public performance in 1996 and officially broke up in 1997 due to creative tension between Ray and Dave Davis. Both brothers have gone on to successful solo careers recording and touring.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.